是手臂刀锋。
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
It's a source of great sadness to me that Scotland Yard should find itself beset with the terrifying problem of protecting innocent men, women and children from the ruthless fanaticism of those who seek to impose their will or political philosophy by means of the bomb or the assassin's bullet. As a senior member of Scotland Yard put it to me on my recent visit, what with the Crays, the Richardsons and the Elephant and Castle mobs under lock and key, organised violence was well under control, and this had to happen. It is a fact that until the bombs began to explode, one right outside the Old Bailey, there had not been one incident in the whole of the Greater London area involving gang murder for some time. And the Commissioner of Police was justified in his statement to the press and on the radio, in which he declared that all the gangs had been broken up. Now they're faced with possibilities of bombs, arson and bullets that make the fight against armed gangsters seem like child's play by comparison. There was a time, not many years ago, when it seemed for a while that London had taken over the mantle of Chicago in its worst heyday. Consequently, when a small-time hoodlum named Larry Davis was found on Stepney Green with a bullet in his head, we were notified at once. Let me tell you about it. I've called my story Death on the Double. As soon as I was instructed by the Assistant Commissioner to take charge of the investigation, when the Stepney Green police came through with the information that Larry Davis was dead, I dropped everything and rushed to the scene of the crime. All right, driver, get back to the yard. I'll arrange transport with the local boys. This may take some time.
Very good, sir.
Detective Sergeant Gates.
That's right, Chief Inspector. We've put a screen around the body. Dr. Harker, our local police surgeon, has just left. Says he's at your service whenever you need him.
Right. More important still, how long has he been dead?
Less than an hour, sir. It's just the sheerest bit of luck that we came across the body so soon.
Oh, what happened?
A young couple walking across the green looking for somewhere they could have a bit of a cuddle saw what they thought was a mound of leaves. The leaves, all right. They were covering this chap. A young fellow ran to the police box over there. I was on duty. The rest you know, sir. I use the same box to notify the yard.
Oh, well, let's have a look at him. Even in death, Larry Davis retained the expression of coarse brutality I'd seen when I'd paid a visit to the files of the Criminal Records Office just prior to leaving the yard. Oh, so that's Larry Davis. Do you know him, Sergeant?
No, sir. He didn't belong to this manor.
Well, how'd you manage to identify him so quickly?
Oh, it was his driving license, a membership card for the Notting Hill Sporting Club, as even a betting slip with his name on it. You know, it's quite extraordinary, that, sir, don't you think?
Yes, I do. Almost as though they wanted us to identify him quickly. Now, what else was in his pockets?
I made a list, sir. It's all in that bag. £7 in £1 notes, a bunch of keys, and a ticket to the Beckett-Simmons fight.
Beckett-Simmons fight? Oh, that was tonight.
Oh, that's right, sir. It's now nearly midnight. Dr. Harker thinks he was shot about 11. The last fight was over at 1:45.
It's interesting. Very interesting. You say you've never seen him before?
No, sir. Mobster, is he? Certainly wasn't killed for his cash.
Yes, Sergeant Gates, and that's why I'm here. We're working on the assumption it is a gang assassination. I understand he was shot with a 3.8.
Yes, sir. That's what Dr. Harker thinks. Look, sir, all the powder marks around the wound.
Yes. Somebody pressed the barrel to his temple and then pulled the trigger. What we've got to ask ourselves is how and why. Let's have a look at his wrists. No, no sign of his wrists being tied together.
No. He could have been bumped off somewhere else and just dumped here. As you can see, sir, the nearest lamp is 200 or 300 yards away.
No, I doubt it. It's too close.
Too close, sir?
Yes. If you say he got used tickets to the fight at the Stepney Hall, and if his killer or killers spoke to him there, why dump him here? Why not drive him as far away as possible?
Yes, yes, I see that, sir.
Well, there's no point in calling on the young couple who found him this time of night. There'd be a good chap to take statements from them tomorrow morning. You've got the address, have you?
Yes, got it down here, sir. Mm. Chap's name is John Forrest, 36 Commercial Road. The girl's Gladys Allams, 28 Queen Street. They both live here in Stepney.
Mm. Know anything about them?
Oh, well, yes, sir. I've seen them around. Steady jobs, respectable parents.
Mm, fair enough, thanks, Sergeant. My compliments to Dr. Harker. I'd be grateful if you could remove the bullet as soon as possible so that ballistics can take a look at it. Probably a stolen gun, but you never know.
Right, sir.
Well, I'm going back to the yard. By now, X-Branch will have found out who he was with tonight. On second thought, sir, I'll call on that address when he's put in his driving license. Come on there, open up.
Well, don't tell me you've forgotten your blooming key. Oh, I thought you... Blimey, what are you doing here, Governor?
If you remove your face from the window and come downstairs and open this door, I'll tell you. The face belonged to William Rowe, known to me in the days when I was still on the beat as the Basher. The Basher had a list of convictions ranging from petty larceny to assault and battery. It was I who secured a conviction that sent him up for 5 years.
Yeah, well, listen here, Governor. I don't know what you're here for, but it's getting on for 1 o'clock in the morning.
Remember me, Basher?
Well, of course I do. Now, you were the sergeant who got me sent up. Well, no hard feelings. Well, you've come on a bit since then, haven't you? I've been reading about you, Governor. Chief Inspector, no less.
Why aren't you going to ask me in?
Well, if I don't, you'd only produce a warrant. Yeah, come in. The place is an awful mess, as you can see. I'm in my night togs.
Charming. Oh, when did you see Larry Davis last?
Yeah, what's happened? What do you want him for? He swore he wouldn't put anything while he was living here.
Bill? What's going on down there?
It's all right, Sadie. You go back to bed. It's me, Mrs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there's anyone else in the house.
People calling in the middle of the night? Even if you are a cop, we've got a right to our privacy, ain't we? Oh, Bill cut out your picture from the magazine.
I'm honored. Well, why don't you go back to bed, Mrs. Rowe?
If you've got anything to say to my husband, you'll say it in front of me.
As you wish. For how long have you been having Larry Davis as a lodger?
Well, I can tell you that. Ever since he came out of Pentonville 6 weeks ago. Why shouldn't we have him as a lodger? He's my cousin, isn't he?
You told me Larry won't get in no trouble.
Who said he's in trouble?
What do you think Chief Inspector Carr's doing here? Waiting for a bus?
Mrs. Rowe, you said that Larry Davis is your cousin.
Yeah, that's right. Why? There ain't nothing wrong, is there? Tell me he was going to the fight. What's the matter?
I'm afraid your cousin's been murdered, Mrs. Rowe.
Murdered? You say Larry's been murdered? Who'd want to murder him? He wasn't that big time. He was only...
Shut your mouth, Bill Rowe. Poor old Larry. He never did have any luck. His missus ran off of that guy who used to keep the gaming joint in Elm Street. Well, what happened? Did they cosh him?
Never mind that now. When did you see your cousin last?
Tonight. The time he was going to the fight. Oh, Larry, love. Don't eat so fast. You give yourself indigestion. Anyone think you got a train to catch?
Well, I haven't, I. Mr. Paulson, he'd give me a lift to the fight. I've got to be in the corner in 10 minutes' time. Oh, it's great scoff. You're a lucky guy, Bill. Best looking bird in Notting Hill, and she can cook too.
Yeah, well, well, you got plenty of time. Don't you want a cuppa?
No, thanks, Bill. Must I see
you? I see. And what time is that?
Well, about 7. No, I'm telling a lie, about 10 past.
Thank you. Now, you say that this Mr. Pawson transported him to the fight.
Yes, yeah, right.
Well, who is this Mr. Pawson? Well, come on, both of you. Davis has been murdered, shot dead. Don't you want to see him...
Harry Pawson? Well, Larry's been working for him.
Doing what?
Punting. Well, every time Mr. Pawson wants to lay a bet, the odds shorten, so he's got...
Oh, yes, I get the message. Harry Pawson.
Yeah.
Yes, I know Pawson. He owns Pawson's scrapyard at World's Inn, runs a pub at Ladbroke Road. Is that the fellow?
Yes, him.
Well, what do you do, Mr. Rowe? Now that you're on the straight and narrow, I take it you are on the straight and narrow.
Oh, I works for Mr. Pawson, too, in his scrapyard.
I see. Thank you. Well, where's Pawson at this time of night?
In bed. It's nearly 1:30.
Oh, don't give me that, Mrs. Rowe. Don't you think that Harry Pawson had been known to the yard? In bed? One of the biggest gamblers in London. Where's his latest speeder? Oh, come on! Where's his latest gambling joint?
Oh, there's no harm in telling him, Sadie. Well, I got a special room at the Blue Cockatoo.
Good evening, sir. Can I help you?
No, this is not a raid, and if you don't raise your voice, there'll be no disturbance. Which room are they playing in?
But,
All right. Now, do you want me to close the joint?
No. Please, no. Everything's on the level.
I want a quiet word with Mr. Pawson.
Mr. Pawson?
Oh, come on, old man. I haven't got all night.
Oh, they get very angry if we interrupt their game. Could I ask you to step into my office and I will fetch Mr. Pawson?
Yes, all right.
One moment, please.
Well. Hello, Yank. Long time no see.
You can't walk into a respectable club these days without falling over some copper's feet.
Were you at the fight tonight, Yank? Did you back Simmons and lose your dough? Is that why you're such a sourpuss?
Sure, I was at the fight. And if it makes you feel bad, I back the other guy.
Still playing the horses, Yank?
I believe you wanted to see me, Chief
Inspector. Oh, yes. One of your employees, Larry Davis, was murdered tonight.
What?
You rotten, stinking, murdering swine. So you bumped off one of your own boys. There's your man, Chief Inspector. He's the killer.
The Yank glared at Pawson, who remained calm and imperturbable despite the accusations hurled at him. Ignoring the Yank, Pawson said,
Larry Davis murdered. It's impossible. He was with me at the ringside tonight. And if I were you, Yank, I'd keep that dirty mouth of yours shut. Otherwise...
Otherwise what, Pawson? You put a bullet in my back?
Why'd you say bullet, Yank? There are more ways of killing than...
Well, I don't know why I said... Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
I've just remembered something. Let's go to the office. No, you too, Yank.
Why me? What have I got
Wouldn't
to do
you like to know how Davis was murdered?
Okay, I suppose they can play without me.
Was Larry shot, Inspector?
Yes, he was. Now, were you expecting a call from me tonight, Mr. Pawson?
Well, why should I be? I didn't know he was murdered.
Before I go into that, I don't want to keep our friend Yank hanging around. Yank, let's not play games. Everybody knows that you're the kingpin of the Bermondsey boys. Why'd you come here tonight? Not to play with Pawson, I'll be bound. Was it to watch his face when he learnt that one of his lieutenants had been bumped off?
Are you crazy?
Now, listen, you two. The fact that some two-bit gangster has been shot dead won't cause me to lose any sleep. But the fact that you two big shots think you can do what you like, terrorize cafe owners, blackmail bookmakers, even frighten streetwalkers...
I think you'd better be careful what you're saying, Chief Inspector Carr.
Why? You're going to sue me for slander, or get one of your toughies to rub me out?
This is the first time I've agreed with anything that Harry Pawson has said. So cool it, copper.
And if I don't? This isn't Chicago, you know, Yank. You can't go bumping policemen off with impunity. Come to that, you can't go bumping off sniffling little rats like Larry Davis, either. Well, why'd you do it? Has Pawson here encroached on your territorial rights? Did you arrange for Davis to be bumped off as a warning?
Oh, you're out of your skull.
Come to think of it, Yank, Chief Inspector Carr's asked a very interesting question. Aren't you a little bit away from home?
Yeah, I am. I didn't really come here to play. I came to see you, Pawson. You owe me $5,000. Somebody tells me you won't pay. So I came to say personally that if you don't pay, then maybe the copper here is right. Maybe your mob are going to find themselves...
They'll find themselves nowhere. I'm warning you, Yank.
You said to me this isn't Chicago, and that suits me fine. And that's why I operate here. You got nothing on me, copper. If you had, I'd have been behind bars a long time ago. And what's more, you can't deport me, because when my dad went back to the States, I was a cute little Britisher, 1 year old. And as a British citizen...
All right, Yank, all right. Had enough of your bull. We're going to find out who killed Larry Davis. And if it was one of your boys, I'll get you in for complicity if it's the last thing I do.
Copper, I've never squealed to one of your kind in my life, but I tell you this. Not one of my mob laid his finger on Larry Davis, and if you want to know why that stupid sucker bought his, ask Big Shot Pawson here. I'll be seeing you. And don't forget that $5,000.
You think that's it, Chief Inspector Carr? Do you think he bumped off one of my men as a challenge? Do you think that's why he was here tonight, knowing that the police would inform me if he came here to gloat? Because if he did,
You'll do nothing. They're going to show people like you and the Yank that you can't take the law into your own hands. You're both getting away with far too much. Oh, I know, you're both clever. If anyone has to take the rap, it's some sucker like... What did the Yank mean, ask Big Shot Pawson? Do you know why Davis was bumped off tonight?
He did it. Oh, as you say, he's too smart to carry a gun, but one of the Bermondsey boys did it. A kind of signal to me.
Because you owed £5,000? I thought you thugs honored your gambling debts. Well, why don't you pay him? That's chicken feed for a big shot like you.
That's my business, Chief Inspector Carr. Now, if you've finished...
No, I haven't. Not by a long chalk. When did you last see Davis alive?
After the fight. My wife and I didn't wait for the last bout. He did.
Can you prove that?
Well, of course. Ask my wife. She was with me.
And that puts you in the clear. Must have been hundreds of people sitting around who can testify seeing you and your wife leave, and Davis remaining behind. Well, let's forget the Bermondsey gang for a moment. What do you know about Davis? When did he become part of your mob?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, all right, my sensitive soul poet. When did he go onto your payroll?
When he came out of jail. Oh, I didn't want him to do anything illegal, and he didn't. He was very quick off the mark. He could place a bet for me long before the shrewdies realized that I was behind it.
Knowing that if you'd placed the bet, the fight was already fixed.
I don't have to listen to your insults, you know. Unless you choose to arrest me, I'm going back to my card table.
This arrogant, well-educated, smooth-talking leader of the Knot Hills turned his back on me and walked out of the office, certain in the knowledge that I had no possible justification for pulling him in, even for questioning. Yet every instinct told me that he knew much more than he pretended. Despite it all, I went home to an untroubled sleep. But in the morning, things began to hum.
Louis the Lip says that Larry Davis was placed among the Knot Hills by the Yank, that he was really one of the Bermondsey boys.
Louis the Lip's a slimy, repulsive monster, ops, who'd murdered his own grandmother for the price of a bed, but he's the best informer we have, and if he's picked up that snippet of information, it means that we've got to work fast, or there'll be a few more dead bodies lying around. What else did you learn?
X-Branch reports that Pawson arrived at the Stepney Hall with Larry Davis, who placed most of the bets at the ringside for his boss.
Well, I've had a word with Sid Cohen. There's no question of fixing the fight between Beckett and Simmons. It went the distance, and it was clean. No motive there. Well, I want Louis the Lip to try and find out the source of that £5,000 wager. I sent the docket through to X-Branch.
Very good, sir.
Now, I want the names of every strong-armed boy who was near the Stepney Hall that night, whether they belonged to the gangs or not.
Will do.
Oh, one other thing, Ops, while you're on the phone. Sir? I've arranged for Pawson to be questioned this morning by Inspector Winstanley. It's just to keep him out of the way while I talk to Mrs. Pawson. I won't be very long, driver. You'd better wait.
Right, sir.
Hello?
Police. Is this about... Chief Inspector Carr. Mrs. Pawson.
Oh, do you come in?
Yeah.
I'm afraid my husband isn't here. I suppose it's about that poor man who was killed.
Not just killed, madam, murdered.
Oh, would you come through here, please? Do be seated.
Thank you.
A drink?
No, thank you.
Not while on duty, I believe is the usual phrase.
Something like that. I've come to ask you a few questions, Mrs. Pawson.
Why me? I don't know anything about the man. I never met Davis. I've seen him sitting around the race meeting and at the ringside on my husband's behalf. But I've never even passed the time of day with him.
So you were one of the persons who saw him within the last few hours of his life?
Yes, but I mean, how can that help you? Or do you suspect me of shooting him?
No, not at all. But you might have overheard something, seen somebody look at Davis with a murderous expression. Oh, I know it all sounds fantastic, Mrs. Pawson, but you'd be astonished how the minutest grain of information can sometimes lead to the solution of a crime. Now, you didn't go to the fight with your husband.
No, I didn't travel down with my husband. He's got one of those new, fabulously expensive Barotti cars. There are only two seaters, and so I took a taxi. I met him there.
Oh, I see. But you left with him.
Yes. The fight ended rather early, and you didn't want to wait for the next one.
The winner! Now that our own Stepney boy, the middleweight champ... George Beckett!
Ah, yes. Most profitable evening, my dear. Come on, let's go.
Aren't you going to wait for the next fight, darling?
Oh, no. A couple of lumbering giants. There'll be very little gambling on it. Davis will collect my winnings.
But, darling, the fight started earlier than we thought. I told a taxi to be here at 11.
Oh, that's all right. I'll arrange for the manager to pay him off. Come on, darling.
What about Davis?
He'll find his own way back.
I see. Thank you. Oh, this taxi man.
Oh, he wouldn't have lost anything by it. I frequently use him. He gets paid for both journeys.
I see. You can't throw any light on this affair?
No. I'm sorry, I can't. You see, Inspector, I love the life I lead. I love the excitement of racing, prize fights, and my furs and jewels. I make a point of never questioning my husband. Ask no questions, you get told no lies. But also, I don't have to tax my conscience unduly. Do I make myself clear, Inspector?
You express yourself with an admirable clarity, Mrs. Pawson. But why do you relate your attitude to Davis? Do you think your husband would be involved in a murder?
Of course not. What a thing to say.
Have you ever met... No, I don't suppose you'd worry that. All right, thank you, Mrs. Porson.
Won't you stay for a drink?
No, thank you. I mean to have a word with a colleague of your husband's.
Is that what you called me? A colleague of Mr. Porson? Oh, he'd like that. As far as the chief is concerned, I hardly exist. Pays me my wages, and I keep his mouth shut.
Yes, yes, I know the form. Look, I don't want to know what you do in your scrapyard or how many hot cars...
Now, wait a minute.
Now, you wait a minute. This is murder, man. Do you want to be up for complicity? Larry was your wife's cousin, and you're going to help me nab the killer. Now, you told me that Mr. Porson was giving Larry Davis a lift.
Yeah, well, it's true. Whenever they were doing a betting job, he took him in his car.
You mean Porson took Larry, drove him there and drove him home?
Well, not straight, yeah. I used to drop him off at the corner.
You're not absolutely in the clear yourself. You could have followed him to Stepney Green.
What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I don't want any phony gangster Boy Scout stuff.
What do you mean?
Never squealing to the cops. Porson was at his scrapyard all afternoon before he went to the fight. That big shot employer of yours must have made 1,000 telephone calls. Come on. You're an old-timer. You know something you haven't spilled. I spill it.
Oh, I warned Larry. I told him that Chief was onto his lark. All right. I'll grass.
That's better.
When Larry was inside, he met one of the Bermondsey boys who sent word to his boss.
The Yank?
Yeah. Now, Larry was to tip off the Bermondsey gang every time the Chief was trying to pull a betting stunt. Well, the Chief lost thousands when Larry came out of jail. And I knew it couldn't last. I knew it couldn't. I knew that Mr. Porson would get wise sooner or later.
I thought it was something like that. All right, I want the names of every strong-armed boy in the Knot Hill gang. And with that information, the entire machinery of Scotland Yard went into action. Dozens of uniformed and plainclothes men questioned, checked, cross-checked, and finally we got them. Two gangsters, both with a long list of previous convictions.
You tell me that George Eastlaw and Fred Baker have been arrested and charged with murder? Well, what's that got to do with me?
Simply that we've broken their alibis wide open. They were seen to talk to your employee, Davis, and no doubt one of them had a gun in his overcoat pocket pressed against the unfortunate Larry Davis's side as they walked towards the green, where it was nice and dark and highly suitable for an assassination. We searched their homes and we found passports, and each had £750 in cash. They didn't charge you much for the job, did they?
I don't know what you're talking about. You don't think I had anything to do with it, do you?
It's a rather silly question.
Silly or not, I am not one of your ill-educated morons. I had nothing to do with the murder, and you can't prove otherwise. I was miles away at the time of the shooting.
Yes, of course you were, but I'm charging you with complicity. You're as much a murderer as they are.
You'll never make it stick.
Won't I? I can prove that you were involved in the murder. And I did. Like all cunning and ruthless gangsters, his overconfidence betrayed him. Porson did one foolish thing, an act that clearly demonstrated his complicity. If you remember, Porson drove to the fight in his two-seater Barossi with Larry Davis. His wife took a taxi. Davis was instructed to stay at the Stepney Hall and collect Porson's winnings after the fights were over, while Mr. and Mrs. Porson left early. Although she had anticipated returning home by the taxi, which was calling for her at 11. And then I said to her, this taxi man...
Oh, he wouldn't have lost anything by it. I frequently use him. He gets paid for both journeys.
You see it now. Davis usually returned with his boss. That night he was instructed to stay behind for the last fight of the evening. Why not tell Davis to return home in the taxi, since the man would be paid for the journey anyway? Porson instructed the manager of the hall to send the taxi away empty-handed, because he knew that by the time his strong-arm boys punished Larry for two-timing the chief, he'd be in no condition to go anywhere.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.